Mr. Jordan redefined that, and then we moved forward after that.
No, I think Mr. James and his friends redefined that. Michael couldn't travel.
What? You're kidding, right? Is that really how you feel about that?
Yeah, actually it is.
You think that Jordan never traveled? Is that what you're trying to say?
Why would you go, Jordan never traveled?
I know what I'm saying is you don't think that Jordan redefined the game as far as traveling was concerned?
No.
Who did, Dr. J? Who?
No, I think it's more of a modern era thing where guys are traveling like crazy.
Oh, I thought it was. I'm still heartbroken over our teams that when Jordan just decided to take as many steps as he wanted to. But he made the game better. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
All right, fine.
Daryl Ryder at 11 o'clock, and then hopefully in the noon hour, we'll be talking about what the quarterbacks have to say as the veterans step out today.
Yep,
so
Bubba.
I'm looking forward to that. Joe Flacco, big controversy yesterday over his lack of reps during the 11-on-11. I saw people pacing up and down the streets out in Berea. They're concerned about that. They're wondering what's going on with that. Why aren't the rookies getting more reps? I mean, this is going to be one of those, paranoid, on-edge kind of camps where we're always wondering everything. We're always trying to get the edge, trying to figure things out. And that's why we are going to go back and listen to a couple of things that Kevin Stefanski had to say yesterday. This is obviously a spot for Kevin now to evaluate. He's got four quarterbacks. Here's what he said about that.
Training camp coverage powered by Classic Ford and Classic Chevy and Mentor.
There you go. So you have that, and then this is what he had to say about putting the quarterbacks in an evaluation position.
The big thing for me is putting our guys in position where we can evaluate them. I think they did a great job in the spring, all four of those guys. We'll continue to put them in some situations, but ultimately, we'd love to make a decision sooner than later.
Oh, that
sooner
was the big
later.
One. That
sooner
was the
than,
big one.
Sooner than later, Andy. That's exactly what we want to hear, baby. Let's
what
pull
does that
a guy
mean?
Out.
What does that mean? I've listened to Mary Kay Cabot say numerous times on our season, and write about it, that she thinks by the time they're done practicing with Philly, they need to kind of have this thing figured out.
I think that's fun, interesting, maybe the truth.
Okay.
You know, I would think, based on what he just said, after the Philly game, we might have an answer. Yeah?
Yeah.
After the joint practices and all that?
I know you're... I'm not making light of it, Justin Fields getting hurt this morning. I'm just... I said this like right out of the gate. When you got four quarterbacks, someone is going to be valuable to someone else. I don't care if people think the Browns are going to be the 33rd team in the NFL this year. When you have four quarterbacks, especially when you have two that have somewhat... experience, and one's got a megaton of experience, and the other one is still trying to find his way and maybe was in just different positions where things went sideways and he could have a good career, and we'll hopefully hear from both those guys later today. I think that one of those guys will be more valuable to another team than they will be to the Browns if they want to see what these two rookies are about. And I'm hard-pressed to find anybody that doesn't want to see what the rookies look like. And does that mean you are playing these guys and foregoing winning? I think that's part of the question that plays out. And it's also the reason why I don't believe they're going to have four quarterbacks when this thing starts.
Yeah, you and I differ on this. They could have possibly four quarterbacks up until the start of training or the season.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if they carry three and try and stash one. And
are they going to stash? I don't.
Well, you can just put them there if unless a guy is going to get claimed on the practice squad, and again, maybe somebody is clamoring for our quarterbacks. You know, as soon as Will Levis gets hurt in Tennessee, mm-hmm. people are thinking, here we go, and Justin Fields gets hurt. You earlier, wait a minute, here they go, maybe going to the Jets. Can I temper that by saying this? Every team in the league had a chance to trade for Kenny Pickett. Browns got him for next to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Every team in the league had a chance to sign Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
He sat looking for a gig for a long time. And every team in the league had a chance to draft Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders several times. not one of our quarterbacks was a pressing need for anybody. And that's why I wonder, that's why I don't think that the Browns are like, oh, look, we've got commodities to sell. What are you going to get for any of these guys? That might be, Andy, why I think that they're going to try and keep all four.
And this is why
they want to find out if one of these guys can be the guy.
Because at the time, prior to July 24th or 23rd, you're right, Jeff. They didn't have a pressing need. But now they do. And look at this. You're like, I got to bring in a quarterback with a little bit of experience. Give me something. I got to feel better about where, because every team needs to have two quarterbacks. I'll say that till I'm blue in the face.
Well,
and the fact that when we went to 17 games.
I'm waiting for
you
to be blue in the face, by the way. You say it a lot.
Oh, I am. Well, I'm
glad I've never seen you be blue in the face.
It's happened before. I was once at a fine establishment, well known to those on the Heights, Lee Road, that I think they changed names.
All right.
And I was just sitting there enjoying a beverage with one of my friends. And
I didn't mean the whole story. Sorry.
Well, you asked for it. You're going to get it. And I was eating a peanut, and the peanut got lodged into my throat. And suddenly, it was bad news. And I will thank one of Cleveland's finest, a man named Andy Gibb, who I went to high school with, who was standing behind me at the time. And he walked up behind me, and boom, he hit me in the chest, and the peanut went flying. So I have been blue in the face, and I do thank my good friend Andy for at least saving me in that moment.
Would you like a peanut?
Thank you.
I have some right here.
Why am I not surprised that you are offering me peanuts right now? Like, if I said to Dan, I'm allergic to peanuts, Jeff would be like, oh, would you like some of these planters? And I'd be like, no, thanks.
Good to be here on Menigan and Phelps.
A little bit of news, gentlemen. Aaron Glenn speaking to the media saying Justin Fields suffered a toe injury on his right foot. He does not know the severity yet. He thinks someone likely stepped on Fields' toe, but he needs to check the tape to confirm.
Do we now call that a Garland, or do we call it a Sergeant Hulka?
Wow. We don't know which toe, so you don't want to assume.
Well, it may not be the great toe.
May not be the great toe.
All right, so that still takes us back to my conversation with you about, I understand the argument that you laid out, but I also think that at the time, someone didn't need another quarterback.
If I'm the Browns, I'm not giving up any of these quarterbacks until I'm convinced one of them can't play. And then that's the guy I'm going to try and get rid of.
So
until then, I'm looking at all of them.
I think that in the land of the NFL, where everything is scrutinized and organized and reorganized, the Browns have some sort of plan. I have to believe they had some sort of, they had to have a plan going into yesterday that said that Joe Flacco isn't going to take a lot of reps on the 11-11, and whether he needs them or he doesn't need them, or they want to see what the young guys look like because they know what the older guys can do. I get it. But somehow or another, that plan's got to be set into ink at some point.
All things depth chart, certainly quarterback. I have a plan that's in pencil. We have to take in information every single day, take in how guys are handling certain situations, and then adjust from there. But we'll get to those type of decisions later on.
It's hard. I think when you're a team that is a 3-win team coming back into the next season, trying to figure out, everything's in pencil. And I think winners don't have to do that. Winners know exactly what they're doing. They are succinct in everything that happens. Everything is planned out to the moment. And you shouldn't have to put things in pencil because you have, you know, you've got guys that have, you know, things tattooed. They're so permanent that they understand what's coming up next. I mean, do you think things are being penciled in Kansas City? I don't think so. Philadelphia, maybe. Depends how they run it. But I think that when you're the Browns, you're in this flux situation where you've got to keep throwing darts at the dartboard. So
that's why I don't want to give up on any of these guys, Andy. That's my point. Not that I don't think all four of these guys are great shakes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, great. Look at the great caliber of quarterback we have. What they have are four guys, and they don't know which one is going to be their starter. They don't know if any of the four is going to be worth a hoot.
So the other part of this, and I brought this up before, is, you know, because we've heard about reps that Flacco did or didn't get yesterday, and I agree. We shouldn't make a big deal about that. But we all know that as things are in pencil, this is the way they play out. Here's Stefanski.
I think you'll see at a bunch of different positions, we will work guys in different areas. So I know it will get reported. It will change tomorrow. So I caution you to read too much into it until we get much later on.
And hopefully that's Philadelphia, right? That's once you get to like the last preseason game, or at the point where, okay, are we trying to figure out who's one, who's two, who's three? And so I think we just have to wait and see. He's right. I get it.
Of course he's right. He's the coach.
And that doesn't necessarily mean he's right.
Well, if he's making the call,
it does. You have a microphone in front of you, and people expect you to be an expert, but I know you're not always right.
Huh. You're talking to my wife.
I think our wives must be sisters. Oh, man. All right, so what is the preseason quarterback plans for the reps for these guys? He tried to answer that with this.
I think remains to be seen. Again, have a plan. Want to talk through that with the coaches as we get into those type of games. You know, this is the first time where we've had a preseason practice versus our week one opponent. So that, how does that factor into some of the decision makings for that game as well?
All right. There you have it, Jeff.
Kevin danced around a lot of things. He always does.
Yeah.
But the thing that I took out of the closest thing he said to anything to me that gave me some thought was when he said sooner rather than later. You know, he could have easily said, we're going to go through the entire preseason and we'll name somebody before game one. But he didn't. Sooner rather than later.
All right, let's roll on some more info that we got from yesterday. And again, we're going to hear from the quarterbacks later today, so I'm looking forward to that. The veteran quarterbacks speak today, and we'll be hearing that. So let's do this. I want to dive into Quinshon Judkins and what's going on with that situation. And, you know, as far as the impact on the team, Stefanski talked about that, so we will do that next right here, Baskin and Phelps. Don't forget Daryl Ryder coming up a little bit later in the show at 11 o'clock. You know, we did talk significantly in that first segment, or second segment, about Kevin Stefanski and, you know, where we are with the quarterback situation and penciling guys in and trying to figure out what they should do with the quarterback situation. And Jeff and I have this continuing conversation about the worth of having four quarterbacks in camp and when to make the decision.
Do you think it's the worth?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think it's the worth. I just think that they have to figure out if one of them can be the starter and be confident in that guy being the starter. And then they have to figure out if one of them has no chance at all. And if one of them just doesn't look good or does, then you can move on from them.
But is that strictly Flacco versus Pickett?
No, Andy, I think it's wide open. You know, I know that Flacco is the veteran and he's got the big resume and everything else. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that he hasn't had a ton of success since he's left the Ravens. And there's a reason that he's had numerous times chances to sign with other teams in the past, and he hasn't. Could Joe step in?
Well, he also chose not to at one point. Remember when he was sitting on the couch?
Could he step in and do a nice job here? Yeah, maybe he'll be the guy and he'll do okay this year. And maybe Pickett has more upside than Joe because he's a lot younger and a lot more mobility. Maybe that fits better with his offense. I personally hope that, you know, Pickett can be the guy because I'd like to see somebody who, by chance, perhaps can be a long-term answer here.
Davis is in Cleveland. Hey, Davis, how are you?
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Davis. To you.
It's fantastic. All right. Thanks a lot, Andy, for that heads up and that information. I really didn't know that. But so I'm kind of, coming in on the tail end of your previous conversation, but talking about the quarterbacks, actually, I wouldn't mind bringing Joe in to start, just to give him a try, just because he was successful other than the playoff game, and then making Pickett, you know, your second option. But I would keep Deion Sanders' son in some kind of way, let him develop, and he can possibly be the quarterback of the future. I know some.
Are you rooting for one in particular, Dave?
You know what? I'm actually rooting for Sanders in a sense. You know, I like kind of what he's doing in the community so far. It might be publicity, but I kind of like what he's kind of developing here. And then in my eyes, and in some of the original Browns fans or some of the long-term Browns fans, we want to see a winner here eventually. Not saying that he is going to do that for the team, but I believe that he can be a great leader for this team in some kind of way if they get the right system for him. That's kind of just what I see, and I like that. I know some people may disagree, and that's fine. But like I said, since the Browns coming off a not-so-good year last year, I would go with Flacco this year, him and Pickett, and then let Sanders develop, you know, this season, and bring him in at some point next year, depending on how this season turns out, mm-hmm. You know, something like that.
All right, Davis. Thank you. We appreciate your opinion. Have a fantastic day, my friend. Davis checking in on the quarterbacks. Okay, there's another thing I want to talk about when it comes to what was said yesterday and Quinshon Judkins, you know, the situation is it's up in the air. We don't know how long he's going to be out for. I think most people are just you put the bar when you've got domestic violence allegations at six games, trying to figure that out. And Kevin talked a little bit about the situation with Quinshon Judkins yesterday.
On the Quinshon Judkins situation, I don't have much to add. These are things that we take very, very, very seriously. We're gathering information. I don't have much to add on that situation.
All right. And I think that's the way it's going to be. I mean, I don't know if we need to hear the legal part of this first? Do we need to hear from the league? I think the league's going to jump out before there's any legal stuff and just say, investigation's going on. We don't like it. You're suspended indefinitely or you're suspended X amount of games and we'll reevaluate once we have more information on this. I think the harder part for him is that, and for all of us in trying to figure out what his future might be, is the fact that he doesn't have a contract right now. It's a horrible look for the organization if they decide to sign him, especially the guaranteed money right now with what's going on.
Difficult, so, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, that's rough.
Well, what are the Browns supposed to do? He put them in a really weird spot by being in this spot. You know, guilty, not guilty, doesn't matter.
Whatever it is, it's a bad look for him. And if the Browns are to embrace him now and give him guaranteed money, Andy, you're absolutely right. That's a bad look for the organization.
And the league. So I mean, it makes the league look bad, too.
Well, yeah, it does.
So
it does.
And we spent a lot of time when this first went down, you know, what does the league do? What does the team do? How do they try to avoid these situations? Mary Kay talked about it this morning where – you know, 2 years in a row, you've had similar allegation and no prior reason to believe that those allegations would come out again once these guys became professionals. And, you know, so can you be mad at a team? You can't predict things going sideways in a way that's going to get you suspended. So they also talked a little bit more about, you know, taking this seriously and making sure that players understand this, especially rookies.
This is something I take very seriously. We take very seriously. It's not something that we want to be a part of. We want to be shining the light on the good things that our guys are doing in this community. Having said that, the league mandates a certain amount of education in all areas, certainly in this area, and we decide to go above and beyond that, and we will continue to do that.
Yeah, I think the Browns have actually been really good at making sure that the players are informed with what they need to know. It's not like I think most teams don't. They'd rather spend more money up front to make sure things don't happen than to have to start spending money on the back end. And we all know kind of where the Browns are with that situation because the Deshaun situation was so groundbreaking, probably the best way to put it, just because we had just never really seen anything like that before based on the guaranteed money that he had. And then the extended period of suspension that I don't think any of us saw coming, especially the front office. But by the same token, they thought they had a quarterback that could lead them to the Super Bowl after Baker Mayfield, and that just has not come to fruition. And we're sitting here arguing about four quarterbacks rather than having one guy that we're like, oh, yeah, made the playoffs last year. I feel really good about this year. And not sitting around arguing whether they're the 30th, 31st, or 32nd best team in the league.
Heavy sigh, deep breath. You know, I agree with you, Andy. I can't believe where the bar is set for like the over under on this season. And it's the optimistic time of the year. Just feels to me like, let's get out there. Let's play some games. This team, forgive me for saying this, can't be that bad, can it?
I hope not. The defense alone makes me think they're not going to be that bad.
I agree with you on that.
I had an argument.
I really do.
I didn't have an argument. I had a relative, we'll call it relative, that was like, oh, they're going to win 7 or 8 games this year. And I'm just like, who? Who? And what are they going to look like after the first 6 games are a meat grinder. They are. And I don't wish the schedule on anybody right now, let alone a team that's trying to figure out who their quarterback is. But if the defense can play the way they're supposed to, and this team jumps out,
they're better than last year on defense, even if they don't approach what they did 2 years ago, it should be a much better football team.
If they can figure out a way to get in the end zone 3 times a game, and the defense plays it the way you just laid it out, that they could be a halfway decent team this year. I'm not expecting playoffs. I think you'd be a fool to.
I would agree with that.
Think that they're going to make the playoffs. I would agree with situation. That. So, all right, Daryl Ryder is going to join us coming up at 11 o'clock. Don't forget, we're going to have the quarterbacks coming up in the noon hour. I did, Jeff. I know this business gets a little crazy sometimes, and sometimes I think we need to take a step back and appreciate some things. And I know you wanted to bring something up.
So. Yeah, a longtime friend of mine passed away.
Yeah.
And just happened. And if you're a Kent State sports fan, if you grew up in Akron and watched Channel 23 back in the day, mm-hmm. Cleveland State basketball, sportscaster Frank DeMarco has passed away. And Frank had been ill recently and in his 70s. When I started in our business, I was an intern at WAKR in Akron. And it was, and it's you amazing. Were too.
Yeah, we both had the same path. Too. Yeah.
And not at the same time.
No.
And Frank
I was
the
following in your footsteps.
There you go. Frank was the sports director. And Frank was a radio guy. And at AKR at the time, radio, AM radio was the king. Mm-hmm. And the TV thing was just kind of there. And Frank did the TV sports at 6 o'clock. And I interned and got in a little before six. My job was to produce the 11 o'clock sportscast. Among other things. Mm-hmm. And then, and Frank was terrific to me, was very, very nice, very helpful. And nobody has to be.
No,
but he was very, very nice and really helpful. And it led to me getting a gig doing color commentary on Kent State football and basketball with Frank doing play-by-play. Mm. So we spent a lot of time, at games together and driving back and forth. And for any young broadcaster, it would behoove you to have someone like Frank in your corner. And he was in mine and was really, really helpful and had a big booming voice. If you ever heard Frank do a game, just a big booming voice and did a really nice job. And more than that was really nice to me and other young guys, coming up who worked at AKR. So my thoughts are with his sons, his cousins, and Frank did he did great work, and he was really, really nice to me.
I know you see this, and I see it too. I notice that sometimes, especially with some younger folks that come through here, and they're just starting their career. Like I see that pay it forward attitude that you probably, and I don't know.
I had it with Frank,
and that's where it kind of started.
Nev Chandler was the same way with me. I didn't know Nev as well as I knew Frank. But Nev would always look at tapes of mine when I was working in Texas.
Yeah.
And when I was able to get to Cleveland, was always really, really nice. And so, we've had some really good folks. And certainly Frank did a great job as a sports guy. Love listening to him do a game. And he'll be missed.
All right. Kind words. And that was fitting and very nice. Very nice of you to say all those things. All right, let's come back. We'll talk a little bit more sports after this.
Is the man for training camp, and he's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can get the latest from Browns training camp right now on our YouTube channel after you get done listening to this, because Daryl Ryder recaps each and every practice. He features the best highlights from coaches, players, during the media availability, and of course, all of the on-the-field action. So subscribe to 92.3 The Fan channel on YouTube right now. Get all of the latest from Daryl Ryder on the Browns throughout the football preseason.
It's good stuff. Daryl, how are you, my friend?
ID. Hello, boys.
I have so many questions for you.
Well, I hopefully have so many answers for you. If not, I'll just make them up.
There you go.
I'm going to
cut. That's a gig right there.
I'm going to cut through the chase, right? Like, I know everyone wants to talk about the quarterback. Everybody wants to talk about, maybe running back or what's going on in this team. Do you think that dude fell on purpose yesterday while he was taking the picture of the helmet? What's the story at camp? Because everyone's talking about it. Let's be honest.
As somebody who's the resident klutz at the radio station,
yes,
I could go either way. I fell flat on my face yesterday, so tripping over my own 2 feet. So I'm not going to lie. I've watched that video 150 times, and laughed each and every time. And there's part of me that feels really guilty about it, mm-hmm. but then there's part of me that doesn't feel guilty about it. But if I were on that raft, that is exactly something I would do. So I'm riding the fence on that. I'm 50-50 between staged and the poor fella fell off the raft.
That jet ski sure showed up in a hurry, though.
Yeah, it did, right?
That's the only thing.
And they did happen to have a life raft there.
Well, it is not a life raft, a little ship there. And
yeah. Yeah, I guess you do have to have one if you have to wear a life jacket there. So I don't know. We're going to kick that around a little bit later. But Daryl, I think that's the pressing question today. You can't tell me that isn't going to be the topic of conversation.
Well, I will say this. That's not on my list of questions to ask Andrew Berry.
You need to ask him. Ask him if they'll ever do it again. Maybe that'll be the way to do it. So again, what do you think of the helmet?
Helmets came out great, though.
Yeah, what do you think of the helmet, Daryl? I know you're a big fan of jerseys and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job. I'll be honest with you, though. I would like to see that helmet with a white jersey and brown pants. I think that that would be a spectacular uniform. I'm not all that crazy about the all-brown uniform, but I also do like that they're bringing back the old Color Rush jersey, the brown uniform with the bright orange numerals there and lettering. Because I did like those. I thought that those were pretty crisp and sharp. So, I think they did a nice job with the helmet. I'm a big, big fan of the white helmet. And I know this is somewhat sacrilegious. Not somewhat. It is sacrilegious to say. But I like the white helmet more than I like the orange helmet these days, if I'm being completely honest with you. And I like that brown helmet, too, that they came up with.
I might be the only guy who would be all in favor of completely redoing everything. Just come up with something like the Seattle Seahawks did back in the day when they busted out their unis.
Well, Jeff,
you guys are both going to hate me because I wouldn't mind looking at a white helmet with the word Browns on the side of it in italics.
Yeah, no.
Moving forward. That wouldn't bother me either.
Yeah, I don't want anything on the helmet.
Have you ever seen the old helmet design, Daryl, that was rolled out in the 60s?
Just barely? CB. The ugly CB.
I didn't like that.
I have that helmet.
No kidding.
Yeah, but it was a kid's version of the helmet that came out in the 60s. I have it.
Yeah, I can't. Not a big fan of anything on the helmet.
There. You wouldn't be in favor of any kind of a rollout like the Seahawks did when they kind of just.
No, because they already did that. They did that a couple years ago where the Oreo stripe had that carbon fiber.
Yeah,
I guess decal incorporated in it. They changed the jerseys, and they were the ugliest jerseys in the NFL. Initially I liked
ours
them.
Are traditional now, but I wouldn't call them, great pieces of fashion.
Well, they're nice and clean. You never go with old fashioned simplicity. I like the fact that there's no drop shadow and all that other stuff, with the exception of the 1948. White throwback jersey. I love those, or 46 throwback jersey. I'm sorry. I love those jerseys. But I do like that the brown jersey is just nice and clean with just straight white lettering and numerals. And then I like that the white jersey has the brown lettering and numerals with no drop shadow. So big fan of nice, clean, simple.
Give me some insight here. Andy is adamant that they're not going to have four quarterbacks for long. I'm willing to have four quarterbacks into the season, even if you can get one to the practice squad. If Andy's right, and certainly he certainly could be, how are they going to decide which guy to get rid of and how quickly could they pare this thing down?
Well, Kevin Stefanski said yesterday that he hopes to begin that process potentially as early as next week, which I found to be somewhat interesting. The fact that they rolled Kenny Pickett out there again for the first true team 11-on-11. They did some 11-on-11 earlier, but it was more of a simulated, and you had some offensive players playing the defense there. But when you're talking true offense v. defense 11-on-11, it went Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and then Shedeur Sanders. They know what they have in Joe Flacco. And we're going to hear from Joe Flacco today as well. So they don't. I don't think that they really have a sense of urgency to give him a lot of reps early in training camp right now. But I do agree with the thought they do need to pare this thing down. You can't run 3 weeks of a four-man quarterback competition, because I just don't know how you efficiently prepare for a season. And in a couple of weeks here, they're going to go to Carolina for a joint practice. Then the following week, they're going to Philadelphia for two joint practices, plus preseason games in both of those cities. I don't know how you can run an efficient four-man quarterback competition. And that's not, I'm not taking a shot at Kevin Stefanski or the organization or anything like that. It's just, I just think four is too many. I think you got to start paring it down as soon as possible so that you can begin the work of actually preparing for the upcoming season and getting your offensive players comfortable with whomever is going to be that starting quarterback.
If all four guys are healthy, Daryl, because this has been my argument, if all four guys are healthy, will there be four quarterbacks on the roster to start the season? I'm saying no. I think they trade one or they let one loose. I think it's more about a trade.
I think that there will be four on the initial 53-man roster, and that because the league will call their bluff, right? If Angie Berry's making phone calls or fielding phone calls about guys, you know how it goes, right, guys? The league's going to be like, yeah, we dare you to cut one of these guys. Okay, let's just see who you cut, and then you don't cut one of them, and then you get a little movement there to get whether it's a sixth or a seventh round pick, because let's be honest about it, you're not going to get much for whoever gets voted off the island. So I do think that there's a very real possibility after the final cuts at the end of August, we'll go into that Wednesday morning with four quarterbacks on the initial 53-man roster.
But by Friday, it could be three.
Correct. Yeah.
You think you could sneak Shedeur Sanders onto the practice squad?
No.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
No, yeah, I don't think you can sneak any of these guys, Jeff, on the practice squad. That's why I just, you know, because that's something that I was wrestling with early in the offseason where I'm like, yeah, you know, what if you cut one of these guys, you sneak them through waivers and you put them on the practice squad, you still keep the four guys. But I just, right now, as we have this discussion, I just don't see a pathway for that to be realistic.
And see, that's where I have this issue, Daryl. Shedeur is interesting. Dylan Gabriel is interesting. Pickett, I think, is interesting. Flacco, we know, can do some things, but he's older. And I just wonder what's going to scream out to the Browns that this guy doesn't deserve a spot on this roster. Because right. I think they could make a huge mistake.
Yeah. And this is the challenge that they have in front of them,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, without question.
Not only do you got to pick the right guy, you got to make sure you don't vote the wrong guy off the island.
That's
right?
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah.
Now, you look at how Andrew Berry has handled his roster management in during his tenure as the EVP and GM there. He doesn't cut his draft picks in year one. So for me, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders are going to be on this roster, which means along our premise in the conversation we're having here, logic dictates, right? Then they're making a choice between Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. And this is what I've been saying for the better part of the last month and a half. I do not believe that this is a true four-man quarterback competition for accuracy's sake and the messaging to fans. I have to say that, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's what the organization is saying. I personally don't see it that way. I see this as a two-man quarterback competition between Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett.
I also think that when you look at this situation, like when Kevin first got here, he liked throwing to the tight ends and used the fullback. This is the first time we've had a fullback on the roster in a couple of years. And if Troy Harrison gets cut, then I think maybe there is a chance they keep four quarterbacks. I just the thought of having three guys on the roster that will not take the field at all during a game, whether you know put them on reserve or whatever you're doing,
right?
I can't see that making sense. You can't have three guys that do not go on the field during any have a chance to not go on the field at all during a game.
Well, here's my thing, and we've seen
it's
this.
Truthfully too, but
yeah,
go ahead, sorry.
I mean we've seen this in years past, right? And I'll say this is respectfully and delicately as possible. These things tend to take care of themselves.
You're correct.
Okay, and that's how I'll leave it. Like some of these, we've seen this, whether it's been running back competitions, receiver competitions, anywhere along the roster, right? These situations tend to take care of themselves. So I am just kind of sitting back here the first couple of practices this week, and just kind of soaking it in. You know, we'll see where we are in about a week from now, as far as this, as I put in air quotes, four-man quarterback competition goes.
If it's between Flacco and Pickett, that must mean that they, if that's accurate, Daryl, and no reason to think it might not be, they got to think Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel is ready to be a backup quarterback in the NFL. Do you think they'll reach that conclusion?
Well, I mean, they did that with Dorian Thompson-Robinson, right?
Well, how'd that work out?
I don't dispute you.
No,
and this is the other thing I keep trying to hammer home to fans. Like, it's great that Shedeur has the following that he does, and he's as popular as he is and whatnot, right? I'm trying to be fair to him. He's a fifth-round pick. It's not fair of me to sit here and expect that he's the starting quarterback week one. He's a fifth-round pick. He's a project. He's a developmental project. Same thing goes for Dylan Gabriel.
And that's all okay, Daryl.
Yes. That, again, not a criticism at all.
Exactly.
Not a criticism of Shedeur. That's not a criticism of the Browns. Like, not a criticism of Dylan Gabriel. Like, they are both projects. They're both developmental prospects. And there's no issue with that whatsoever.
Nope. I agree completely. Yep.
But that's where you have to make the right decision, though, between Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett to hold down the fort this year. Because if they're true developmental projects, they should, it should not be in the plans for them to see the field this year, okay? Because they need to sit for a year and watch and observe. And then, of course, you have to make the evaluation next offseason. Okay, even though they didn't play, how do we like things behind the scenes and how they handle practice and week preparation going into weeks and things like that? And then how does that fit into our big picture of having two first-round picks and needing to potentially still draft a franchise quarterback? These are all questions that are not easy to answer, but they're at some point going to have to be answered. But yeah, I don't have the sense of urgency to put either one of those kids on the field right now because, A, I don't think it's fair because of where they were drafted, and B, I think sometimes you could potentially do more harm than good, and you go back and you look at the 40 quarterbacks the Browns have you know, run through that building over the last 26 seasons, right? The Deshaun Kaisers of the world, the Charlie Fries of the world. Like, when has that ever happened? Cody Kessler, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. When has it ever paid true dividends for this franchise playing mid to late quarterback picks in the draft as rookies? It has never paid off for them. And I don't suspect that all of a sudden we're going to have this eureka moment, and it is now.
Daryl, you've been out there for the mini camp, so you were out there for the first day yesterday. Is there truly a different attitude about practicing hard and playing harder and trying to get more out of practice right now? And, you know, I know in the past we've kind of laughed about Camp Cupcake, but I don't. Is that clear and obvious that that is not what this year is going to be about?
Well, it's too early. I mean, they ran a 70-minute practice.
Yeah, but I mean, going into this thing, you tell me.
They're talking about it. I mean, they're talking about it. But yeah, listen, if I had a dollar for every time the Browns talked about something, and I'd be on a beach somewhere sipping my drink with an umbrella in it, a la Mike Holmgren. But, you know, we'll see here as we get at least a week into this thing. I will say this: the one thing you can see that there's an intentionality about maximizing the time that they do have on the field, and I think Kevin Stefanski, and he talked about it yesterday. He really is trying to balance efficiency, and that is, you know, splitting these quarterbacks, doing reps on separate fields with them, while also at the same time making sure that he's not gassing his players early in camp.
So how did we get to this point, Daryl, though, that we're sitting here questioning how tough guys are working in practice? And did part of that have to do
they
with
went 3-14 last year?
Well, but the other question, though, is about the offensive line coach and making sure that you have one in there that's pushing the offensive line.
Well, yeah, I mean, Mike Vrabel was coaching the offensive line in September. So that told you how that was going.
Things changed. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I'll say this, you know, Dwan Jones looks great. It just, you know, physically he looks great. But you know, it remains to be seen, you know, can he stay healthy? That's the question. Jack Conklin, can he stay healthy? If that line stays healthy. Okay. And it's, for me, that's the key. Aside from the quarterback situation offensively, it's, can the offensive line stay healthy? Because if they can stay healthy, That's going to be one of the strengths of this football team. It's going to help them run the ball. It's certainly going to help the quarterback as far as giving them extra time to process and get the ball out, right, and make plays down the field. So for me, offensively, aside from who they pick a quarterback and the, you know, can we get competent quarterback play, the health of the offensive line might be the second most important thing on that side of the football.
Daryl, last thought. What do the Browns have option-wise when it comes to Quinshon Judkins right now?
Well, right now, it's I think that they're handling the situation. And again, we're going to hear from Andrew Berry, and I'm sure he will address it because he will be asked a lot of questions about it. You keep him unsigned. You wait for the legal resolution to the situation. And he's certainly not getting a fully guaranteed contract now. That's out the door because I don't know in what world you can now do that if you're the Browns, right? So Quinshon, from just a pure business football standpoint, setting the accusation aside, okay, and just looking at through the lens of football in business, this was a bad situation for him.
Yep.
And you know, if the allegations are true, which we don't know if they are, if the allegations are true, then obviously that's some pretty awful decision making on his part to get himself in a situation like that. So I think the Browns are handling from a business standpoint, Jeff, as best as you can. Got to get the legal resolved. There's no hurry there for the Browns to put pen to paper on a contract. And then obviously, too, the other tentacle of this is the NFL is doing their own investigation. We know how quickly they moved on Mike Hall Jr. His incident happened in mid-August, and it took him about a month to come up with that 5-game suspension to start the season. So there's also the league component to this as well.
Daryl, thank you. YouTube is where we're catching you right now, right, to make sure we can see all the good and daily reports.
Thanks, Steve.
We'll be listening to you throughout the day. Thanks, Daryl. Will it be Pickett or Flacco? Head-to-head, we'll hear how they sound, and you'll get to determine the starting quarterback based on their press conferences.
Joe's going to be... Joe will be tough to beat.
I think so, too. Mm-hmm. He's got it. He understands it. He knows how to play the game. Thoughts on what Daryl said there, though, Jeff?
I'm not convinced of that.
What are you convinced of?
With the quarterback situation, next to nothing. the only thing I would guarantee you is that they are really looking at quarterbacks in next year's draft.
I can't argue that.
That doesn't...
But are they doing it with a foot on the gas, foot on the brake, right? It
doesn't mean they need one. I mean, seriously, stranger things have happened than a third-round draft choice going in and becoming a starting NFL quarterback as a rookie and playing pretty well. We've seen that happen. You know, stranger things have happened than a fifth-round pick actually doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
The idea in my head is where I disagree with Daryl slightly. And Daryl knows more about it than I do because, you know, he is tuned in. He knows what's going on with the Browns and he gets it. He says Flacco or Pickett. That's the competition. My only thought is, okay, if you get rid of one of those guys, that means you're going to play Dylan or Shadur as your backup quarterback and probably keep all three. And I just think, well, if something happens to the winner of Pickett or Flacco, then that rookie better be ready. And if he's not good, then maybe the idea of completely playing for the 2026 draft choice is actually really on the table. And that might be part of what's going on here.
I think I just don't want to walk into another DTR situation where, you know, the Ravens are in town. Deshaun gets hurt.
Well, you might.
DTR doesn't know until seconds before he walks out on the field that he's even going to play that day. Which, by the way, as a backup, you have to be ready, right? You must be ready. So... I don't want to see that situation. I want some clarity walking into this thing. I want to have faith that whoever's out there taking snaps has the opportunity to win every week. You've got two guys that are younger that just have zero NFL experience. So it's hard to want to. You can't say that Gabriel or Sanders is going to walk out there and automatically win. I do think it's interesting though when you do put a new quarterback out there that sometimes defenses will struggle because they just don't know what to expect. And we've seen that before. It's almost like a pitcher in Major League Baseball where a new guy gets called up or sometimes they just don't have the info on a guy to go up against them and they they look fantastic their first couple outings, and then once the book is out, everybody kind of figures this out. I don't know if that's the same in the NFL. I just know we're sitting here with four quarterbacks and we'll be talking about it for a while. I hope that we're not talking about it very long, though, because we've already been talking about it for a long time. But
absolutely, best case scenario is what?
They have this, the best case scenario?
I'll
best case scenario is they pick whoever the number one is. They go into that first preseason game and they look very good, and that's, and then you know forward what's going on.
I would say the absolute best case scenario is at some point one of the rookies shows that he is the guy, steps in, plays well, and maybe you have a quarterback.
I think
that's absolutely the best case scenario, closely followed by Kenny Pickett doing the same thing.
Yeah, I'm not so convinced that it's got to be one of the rookies. I mean, if it's Pickett, it's Pickett. If it's Flacco and they can win, I don't have a problem with him. He could be 51 years old. If he could go out there and win, I'm down with it. I don't care how old he is. I don't care about the experience. Are the odds good in his favor? I think to start, yes, but for a long-term solution, no. Ryan is in Buffalo. Rhino.
Hey, Andy, Jeff, gentlemen, how you doing? Hey, Jeff, sorry for the last man. Just wanted to chime in, obviously, on what Daryl said. You know, the conversation, the conundrum, obviously, which is just the most unique quarterback carousel in Browns history. There's nothing that can challenge it. There's been a two-headed horse race, obviously, in yesteryears, but sometimes a third one, rarely. But there is truly five quarterbacks, and obviously that one dude that everyone just wants to see kind of go away, still lingering. That's never been done. I don't remember any other team in the NFL having this unique scenario. And again, you guys alluded to a lot of things. We had a previous caller says, who are you kind of rooting for?
But I said interest, that, yeah.
I would be saying, yeah, I mean, I'm in agreement with that, gentleman. I think Sanders would be more appealing, more fun to watch. Just the pedigree, just the uniqueness of the unknown of is he legit or not. Obviously, they're going to find that out, practice, et cetera. He's my rooted interest. I don't think he'll succeed as much as I feel. Hopefully he would, I mean, for the Browns to win, I just feel he's just that guy that's going to be on the team, second or third string. And then again, you guys are alluding to which quarterback we're observing the most this year. I truly believe it's not going to be Gabriel, Sanders, you know, obviously Flacco, Pickett. I believe the most Browns fans are going to be observing Arch Manning, Alar from Medina, Sellers, the kid from, you know, Clemson. These Allen. Are the individuals that are really going to be observing. Yeah, there's a lot of good, forgive me on the name.
Sorry.
There's a lot of good, yeah. There's a lot of good quarterbacks out there, though, this year coming out. We know, as Browns fans, this is one of those years that we are just kind of vying for space when it comes to finding ways to get that quarterback of the future. And I'm all in on that. I hate losing. At the same time, I really don't know what this year is. This is such a unique year. It's a veteran-laden. You alluded to it as a defense that's stout. Don't get me wrong. There's some uniqueness. DeJuan Jones, left tackle, no running back, really. Quarterback, just question marks. It is not a team to succeed, like Vegas is saying. It's at the same time, it's just that it's just one of those unique years where I don't even know what they want of this team. Do they want to see who can succeed? What type of players are out there they're going to observe? There's so many question marks, man, guys. But I do know one thing. The future is optimistic. So, again, the good thing about this year is there's something moving forward, at least. That could be the draft. It could be players in the future. But, hey, I'm going to be at all the Browns games regardless. But anyway, guys, great show as always. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Jeff, do you think that the future is optimistic? We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back here in a second. Also, we will hear from the quarterbacks coming up shortly from Berea. So the veteran quarterbacks, Pickett and Flacco, are scheduled to speak today. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. The big story outside of the football aspect yesterday was the helmet reveal for the Browns. And there is a big question about the photographer that fell off the barge. And is that real or not? We're going to go through that like the Zapruder film here in just a few moments. He is Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Don't forget, coming up in the next hour of Baskin and Phelps, we will hear from the quarterbacks out in Berea. We're also going to get ready for the Guardians as they get set to clean up that series with Baltimore, looking for a four-game sweep. Man, would that be sweet. Let's take a couple phone calls real quick. 216-474-0092. Jim is in Strongsville. Hello, Jim. How are you?
Hi, Jim.
Hey, gentlemen. Let me just say this first. Get Arch Manning off your minds. If he comes out, which most people don't think he's going to come out, what makes you think his grandfather's going to let him come play for this dumpster fire? And I don't mean that to be mean to the Browns. I'm just saying Eli steered away from a much better situation in San Diego when he came out, and what makes you think that they're going to look at this? I'm like, us, Jimmy's.
I don't know. I think that the grandfather influence is probably the same as the uncle influence. If the uncle's friends with Jimmy, what's the difference between his grandfather or his uncle? I mean,
if Peyton and the Haslams are friends,
yeah. Why would why are we?
I got a lot of friends. That doesn't mean I'm going to do business with them.
And that's exactly right. That's my same theory. This also doesn't mean you're not going to do business with somebody.
That's true. I just look. That's pie in the sky. And Andy, I get where you're coming from with DTR. DTR wasn't going to be good no matter where he went.
I don't know. You know what's funny? I would have thought, Jim, if we had that conversation before, I would have been like, you know what? You're right. I probably agree. But he got so hyped up in the beginning around here that when he walked out on that field against the Ravens, that I can't remember the last time the crowd was. I mean, they were going ballistic. They're DTR. DTR,
he's a backup quarterback. Well, everybody loves him.
We've gone crazy for a lot of guys.
That's true. I'll give you that.
Anything. So,
all right.
I just think if the Browns are going to do this whole quarterback situation, I know what you're saying. My problem with the whole Flacco thing is, one, I think in our minds we have him hyped up higher than he is.
Agreed.
I think that we have this romanticized idea about that run he had, which is fine. But I'm just not into wasting games on that guy. Like, 'cause I don't think he gives you that much of a better chance to win than anybody else. I think he gives you a little bit of a better chance, but you know he's going to throw two picks. Probably one of them's going to go the other way for a touchdown. I'm not in love with wasting snaps, wasting time. And everybody says like, oh, but these first six games, this is a gauntlet. First off, three of those games are against division opponents. I'm sorry, you got to play the guys in your division. That's just the way it is.
Two.
And none of these are defensive juggernauts. Right. I mean, yes, they're good teams. But what makes Detroit this? I mean, yes, Detroit is good. But Green Bay's in the defense. I look at it and I'm like, yeah, they're good teams. They're all good teams. You're in the NFL.
Here's why I'll back up anybody that wants to talk about this first. Even if you want to talk about the first five games, right? You want to say Pittsburgh might be a little bit lighter. The reason Pittsburgh has the sixth game is tougher is because you're coming back from London. That's the only reason why. And it's a road game. It'd be one thing if that sixth game against Pittsburgh was here and you had a little bit more time to wrap. But, I mean, they're coming back from London on that. But if you go back and look at the records of these first six games, they're 61-24. We're talking about Cincinnati missed the playoffs by one game. Baltimore, Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota all made the playoffs.
Cincinnati doesn't have Trey Hendrickson, so their defense is going to actually be worse.
No, but they have Joe Burrow, Jim. Is Trey going to be there when the season starts?
Joe Burrow week one is not very good. Joe Burrow week one is not very good. He's never very good.
We're using history against each other, Jim.
That's a valid bit of history there.
All right, Jim.
And you and me, one of these days, man, we are going to go head-to-head.
No, we're not. We're not. You know, the hard part is I appreciate your perspective on things, and so I really don't like Jeff, I can argue with all day. Jim, I listen to what you have to say, and so that's the biggest
difference.
There you
go, Jim.
Congratulations.
You guys are my favorite, much better than Jonathan and that other guy.
Oh, good. Keep ripping everybody else. That's fine, too. Goodbye, Jim. Jim in Strongsville.
They speak highly of you, Jim.
Roman in Canton. Hi, Roman.
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Roman. You are.
Good. Very good. Just wanted to give you I think with the quarterback situation, I think we have to send out Flacco out there to bring people back down to earth about, you know, our expectations out of him. He had that high run. Everybody was feeling good about him. And it's similar to why they let him go again, because they don't want the controversy of him sitting.
We lost you, Roman.
Oh, in the stands.
Okay.
You know, so I think sending him out there, seeing if we can strike lightning in a bottle twice, awesome. That's perfect. And if we can't, and if he is as bad as we think a 40-some-year-old quarterback is in this league, then we find out from there. And then we take the next guy who we think is the best chance of us winning games, in my opinion.
All right, Roman, thank you. Appreciate it. Let's take one more here, Jeff. Raymond's in Talmadge. Hi, Raymond.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, the reason I was calling, obviously, is the quarterbacks, but I heard Daryl, and I've listened to the media all through the draft and everything else, and Daryl, when the first draft was, when we drafted Dillon Gabriel, was, well, you just put nobody's going to take him. He's going to go to the practice squad. Who's going to take him and everything else? Now he switched that they're both making the teams, and I've listened to the media throughout this whole process. It's all about Shadur and everything else. And I think we're kind of missing what this season kind of becomes. And Jeff, you've referred to it too. It's like, if you find the diamond in a rough in the third round, in the fifth round pick, that's awesome.
Yep.
Otherwise, you're trying to get through the year to get to the next quarterback draft where there are guys that are the right size, the prototypical talent, the prototypical athletic ability. Right now, I think they're finally trying to find the guy who's going to help that guy. Now, the thing that's irritating about Dylan Gabriel is, first of all, he's 5'11". If it's a fatal fall, that's fine. You took him in the third round. But supposedly he has everything else, and we have to look at what's going on in practice. Mary Kay reported it. Everybody's reported it now, and it's being aggregated, that they're giving him more to do than they gave Shadur. And that's what a lot of people were worried about during the draft when Shadur was hyped up, but you hear he had bad means because they got him on the board. He didn't know pro concepts. He can't call a play. All those things that happen with fifth round picks. Gabriel's thing is he's smart along with having athletic talent, a good arm. He's just short. He's a backup, most likely. He's most likely, I think, going to be in the league for 10 years while the other three are out of the league as probably a backup. But he's the guy who's going to help the guy they get next year. Right now, you're just trying to get through the year.
Fair enough.
Hyping these guys up is really getting out of hand.
Mm. All right, Raymond, thank you. All right, interesting. Talking about the hype. Speaking of hype, can we get into this? And I just, do we think the guy fell off the raft on purpose yesterday when they were doing the unveiling of them? It's a raft, wasn't it? You call that a boat or a raft? What do you want to call it?
Look like a boat to me.
I don't know. It looked like a raft to me. Giant raft.
All right.
Yes or no? Do you think he fell off on purpose? Jeff is up in the air on this.
Yes, no, I do.
You think he fell off on purpose?
Yeah. Well, you know why?
Why?
You described it perfectly.
Okay.
We're going to dissect it like it's the Zapruder film.
Right. Is it Zapruder or Zapruder?
You said it correct.
Okay.
Zapruder. Okay. Regardless, there was a guy with an umbrella.
Right.
If you look at, first of all, there's video of multiple angles.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if you look at the video taken by, and maybe it's the guy on the jet ski, I can't tell. I just know that there was somebody there taking video of the guy backing up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he clearly misses stepping on, and you're right, it wasn't a boat, I don't think. You're right. Mm-hmm. He clearly misses a step, but watch Chomps.
Mm.
Chomps doesn't react like, oh my gosh, this guy just fell into the lake. He reacts like a character playing a part.
Mm.
He immediately throws his hands in the air, and instead of going to help the guy, he backs up into the brown helmet and throws his hands in the air like, oh, he fell off. And then he bends down and picks up the conveniently placed life raft and throws it to him as the conveniently placed jet ski rides in to get him.
Mm. But wouldn't they have a jet ski out there if they wanted to get more video from a different perspective? And
well, yes, absolutely. So except watch Chomps. Mm. Watch, Andy. Watch and learn.
Left and to the right. Is that what you're saying?
No,
Chomps
doesn't
right
react like some guy fell in. He reacts like he's playing a part.
I don't know. I'm watching this. It's so fast. So I have the perspective of the guy that fell. Okay. And I'm going through.
Well, you don't see Chomps in that because all of a sudden you see water.
Well, no. You can see Chomps before he falls into the water. Here's the issue
there's video shot by probably the guy on the jet ski. And that guy, the reaction of Chomps in that, plus the dude's grandma is on that raft. And grandma doesn't freak out.
All right, I'll buy that. The part that gets me is his foot. So it's his right foot that falls over first.
You did a good job.
And it doesn't seem very natural the way...
You think? Does he kick it in the air? Like, here I go?
Yeah, okay, so is this guy's name? What's this guy's name? Moss? Ross? Who's the guy with the jersey on?
I do not know.
The guy. Okay, so he's walking. Sure, he's so walking.
Although a guy named Ross Smith posted it and said, I fell in.
Okay, so
on his Instagram account.
So he had his jersey on. But I'm just looking at this, And the way he took that right foot off the side.
And wiggled it?
Yeah, just a little bit. Wiggled it just a little bit. Right? Dan? Right? Is that how it works? I don't know. That didn't seem natural to me. That, to me, made me think that he actually did fall off on his own.
Did you see Chomps? Did you see the angle?
I'm going to watch Chomps. Okay, Chomps is doing the Chomps thing. Oh, you know what?
He's playing a part.
Jeff, man, I don't want to agree with you because I hold...
Because you don't like me.
No, but here's the fact is that Chomps is already like backing up before he fell in with his arms up against the helmet. Oh, boy. That might be damning evidence. Chomps may have... Oh, boy.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
So Chomps sees the fall, holding on. Oh, no. Yeah, why was Chomps' initial reaction to back up against the helmet?
Throw his hands in the air and back up.
Rather than move forward and try to help him from falling. Oh, boy.
See?
Oh, I never want to question Chomps and the integrity of Chomps because I think Chomps is an outstanding character and a good person.
Just got a text from somebody.
Good dog.
A great football mind.
Yes, go ahead.
No question that was fake. That guy absolutely planned on going in the lake.
Oh, fake or real. Come on. You got to come back with that. Plus, we're going to hear from the quarterbacks in the next hour here on Baskin and Phelps. 216-474-0092.
Yep.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Interesting day so far. You know, we talked a little bit about the Guardians earlier in the show and how they're playing and how great that is. The other big story of the day, and by the way, there's been a bunch of stories that have happened during the show. Today, one obviously was the quarterbacks talking today. Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco both speaking. We'll talk a little bit more about what they had to say. Hulk Hogan passed away. The news broke during our show. And then one more. Dan, you are the bearer of bad news today, man. You're not making life fun at all. Chuck Mangione, the flugelhorn aficionado, maybe the greatest of all time in our lifetime, I guess, also passed away today.
Name one other flugelhorn player.
I don't know. Do you? Can you?
No.
I can't either. So, okay, good.
It's just a variation of the trumpet.
I always thought it was interesting that as his career took off, you know, he... Oh, good job. King of the Hill. Like, for those of you that don't really know much a whole lot about him, I always remember him like the Megalomart, and they used him on King of the Hill. It was kind of fun, and, you know, they would play Feel So Good, right?
There it is.
They play it all the time on the show, so... and he was a regular voice on King of the Hill, too, but obviously well-known for his days playing the flugelhorn. And this song, you know, how often we heard this? How many elevators have you heard this?
It was the hit.
Not bad.
Yeah, I'm sure he appreciates that.
Okay. Probably my second favorite song without lyrics next to YYZ, clearly. The Great Rush tune. The only song I can actually sing, YYZ. Jeff could, too. If I gave you all the lyrics, you think you can remember it?
I mean.
Inside Rush jokes right here on Baskin and Phelps. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. So we did hear from both those quarterbacks. I want to give you a little bit more of what we thought, but I also want to give you the opportunity to talk about what you heard from the quarterbacks and what we've been talking about as far as the situation that is coming up. 216-474-0092. Dan comes alive. He is in Frampton. Hi, Dan. How are you? Dan, are you there?
Hi, Dan.
Dan? We gave you a shot. Dan, I'm going to put you on hold. I'll give you a second chance.
I don't know that there is a town called Frampton.
I don't know that there is either. Can you think of anything close
to that? I think Anthony screwed that up.
Okay. Well, wait. Let's try this again. Hey, let's go to Dan. Dan, are you there? Nope. Man, I'm striking out. Not a good segment so far. Jerry is in Cleveland. Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Hi, Jerry.
Hello.
Hey, Jer. How are you?
Doing well. How about yourself? This is actually Dan from Grafton, not Frampton.
Oh, this is Dan. Okay, so somehow or another, the names got mixed up on the line. All right, so go ahead. So it is Dan.
Anthony really screwed that one up.
Yeah,
I don't know. Nice job, Anthony.
Oh, wow. I'm very sorry. That was really bad.
So wait, let me
Hi,
get
Dan
this.
Dan from okay. Grafton.
Dan from Grafton is now
online. Fine correctional institutions.
So does that mean Jerry from Cleveland is online too then?
Just go ahead, Dan.
Dan, what do you got?
My question is, I got two of them, actually. Sure. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers have been rolling out, you know, has-beens and, you know, older, washed-up quarterbacks here recently. And they've been, you know, winning enough games to possibly get into the playoffs, but then they get bounced out in the first round. Why would we want to do the same thing with Joe Flacco and or Kenny Pickett?
Well, I'll tell you this, because it's been such a great storied history of our franchise making it to the playoffs. And I may have actually sat next to you at that home playoff game because it was so sweet. And I just really enjoyed it. We have sucked, man. Let's get there, and then let's worry about the little things. And the Steelers have 6 Super Bowl rings. We have none. Like, let's strive for at least one, and I'm not going to sit here and worry about the fact whether, you know, they're young, they're old, whatever. Let's get there and try to get one now. I can't complain about things that we...
So Andy, you would go to a big, you know, try to test drive a Bugatti Veyron, knowing that you can never buy it. Just to test drive it, congratulations.
Yeah, that's not true. I just don't care about the car. I'd be happy with my Ford because that's the kind of guy I am, man.
Here's the thought, though.
Yeah.
Dan, I think you're in agreement with me.
I can't like these people that think that.
No, it's this.
Here you go. Like, we can't be satisfied with one.
What makes you think Joe Flacco is going to be the winning quarterback of the team? That's
what makes you think any of these four guys are going to be the winner?
I'm not. So if I'm going to lose games, I don't want to do it with a 40-year-old quarterback.
Here is the one thing I will die on, and I will say this 1,000 times over. For as bad as our team and our franchise has been, I 100% like believe this to my core, that locker room in Berea has never been better since maybe the Bernie days than when Joe was there.
And that locker room has changed
a little
exponentially.
Bit. He talked about it. Some of that locker room's still there.
Yeah,
he gets it, but he understands what it takes to be in a winning locker room. Well, tell me anybody else. Give me
Kenny
more.
Pickett.
Okay. Well, come on. But Kenny won a Super Bowl last year. I don't want to belittle Kenny because he could be the starting quarterback. And if he can help us win a Super Bowl, I'm all in. But give Flacco a little credit here. Can we stop bashing him?
We're not bashing him.
No, it's the, he's too old. He had too many turnovers in there. He had a great five-game stretch here, and blah, blah, blah.
And the 40-year-old quarterback who hasn't done anything in 5 years.
Jeff, you just said it, Andy. Well, I'm talking about the Steelers winning 6 Super Bowls.
And you said, can't we have a chance to win big?
Can we have a chance?
But not with him.
So you're saying it's over. If they let Flacco start the beginning of the season, no chance they can't win. Forget about it.
Can't win a Super Bowl, no. But they're not going to win a Super Bowl with anybody.
Absolutely. You'll buy steak dinners for everybody here if they win a Super Bowl.
Absolutely. If they don't.
All right. I don't even realize who this is. Is this Dan in France? Who is this? Who is on the line?
This would be Jerry.
I don't know how you know that, but okay. Go ahead, Jerry.
I just wanted to say, at best, Flacco would be, you're hoping he would be average. You know,
agreed, Jerry.
Jacoby Brissett. He might give you that. I would rather go with one of the younger guys
and lose. You're good with that.
Well, you lose with Flacco, but I'd rather go with one of the younger guys because you guys seem to think these quarterbacks we get are going to control everything. It's about fit, you know. I believe that if we got Lamar Jackson at the time, you know, when he came, I don't think he'd have been as good as he was because people try and put a round peg into a square hole or a square peg into a round hole.
Either way.
And it's all about fit. And there's a reason they decided to get Kenny Pickett. I'm not saying Kenny Pickett's great, but I think they believe he fits the style that can work for them. So maybe he can be the Brock Purdy of the Cleveland Browns. And as far
But wait, does that mean so but can he help us win 6? Because it's not good enough to just to be able to make it to the playoffs or win one Super Bowl. We have to have a quarterback that's going to be here for 7 years, which hasn't happened, right? We have to have a quarterback that can win multiple Super Bowls. We haven't won one. We haven't had a home playoff game since I was in elementary school or college.
You guys tend to put so much on the quarterback. There are 22 players on the team.
I agree with you.
You're being delusional. No, you're being delusional now, guys.
No,
take a look around the league. Teams without quarterbacks don't win. Teams without quarterbacks don't win, Jerry.
Teams without defenses don't win either, Jeff. I mean,
we're not going to get Patrick Mahomes. You know, I don't care who you bring in. You're not going to get Patrick Mahomes.
And, which you could have, by the way, but you didn't draft him.
Yeah, and then you hurt my feelings once when you talked about the players we could have had in basketball.
I'm sorry,
there
Jerry.
There you go. Thank you. Thanks, Jerry. Okay, thank you. All right. Let me ask, can I check first, is this actually Jack in Macedonia? Jack, is this you?
Yes, it is.
All right, good. All right,
good
now
to
we're
have
back
you
on
with
track.
Us, Jack. Hi, Jack. Right in North Nordonia, Jack.
What's that?
It's Massachusetts. Nordonia is a school district.
Yeah, I know. He's the pride. Jack probably went to Nordonia, or his kids did.
How do you, Jack, where'd you go to school?
No, I went to Parma.
And where'd your kids go to school?
Walsh.
Oh, very nice.
Double. Man, Jeff keeps he's rejection. It's like LeBron winning a championship. Keep going. What do you got, Jack?
Hey, I just had a quick thought. You're talking about the quarterback race and everything and the four quarterbacks. Is it possible that it's a two different races, one for first, for starter between Pickens and Flacco, and the loser's out? They cut the loser, and then the other two are battling for second and third string quarterback.
I believe that. I have no problem believing that. Jeff?
Takes that four people talking about the four quarterbacks. It's really only two spots or three spots up between, you know, two races.
Jack, it's as good a theory as any. That's all we have right
but
now.
But, Jack, that would leave us with how many quarterbacks to start the season? Three or four?
Three. They'd keep
three.
One of them.
That's
three
and
I agree.
A half.
Yeah.
Three and a half.
Three and a half of the guy on IR. Good point. Thank you, Jack.
All right. Have a good day, guys.
Appreciate you. Let's go one more here. Tom in Los Angeles.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. Listen, I want Flacco. And the reason being is you're right. I mean, the guy's older. He's got the smarts. He probably doesn't have, you know, well, of course he doesn't have the same skill as he did 5-10 years ago. But how many of these quarterbacks that have come in as rookies, they threw him into the fire, and it just really screwed with their confidence? Look at Justin Fields in Chicago, right? I mean, the guy just had a real bad go of it. You know, and some of the other rookies, I don't want to bring up Couch, of course, but, you know, he got thrown into what, in 0-16 team for 2 years in a row.
Tim got put in a bad spot. DeShone Kizer put in a bad spot.
Yeah.
Bodie Kessler put in a bad spot. I mean,
Hugh Jackson.
We've done it a lot recently, Tom.
Yeah, so I think we have the talent with the young guys, but they need to learn. If they go in there and they get their head all screwed up, knowing they're going to get lit up and, you know, they're failing, you know, throwing picks and stuff, you know, to come back around and rebuild that confidence is tough, right? Especially on a team that really is not supposed to even break even this year.
That's true.
So I go with Flacco. Flacco teaches them the ropes. They learn the game. And I think the Browns could still be okay.
All right. Thank you, Tom. It's funny. Flacco actually talked about some of that. Let's come back. We'll keep talking about this. We'll give you a chance to hear some of the cuts, too, from what these guys had to say earlier. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Let me just ask this, because we just had a pretty spirited debate about this.
Was that a debate? I thought we were just screaming at each other.
I thought it was a debate, but if you want to call it screaming, call it screaming.
I'll go with screaming.
Okay, I'll go debate. If Flacco starts this year, is this a lost season?
In what regard?
That the fact is that they want to put out a guy that, like, isn't here to win now or can't be here for a long time, that, you know.
Okay, I see your parameters. Here's why it's a lost season.
There's one other thing that there's another nugget to this thing, too, is that you drafted two quarterbacks, and, like, to me, I just – If the rookies don't get on the field at some point, again, I'm expecting two quarterbacks to start at any point during the season because it's 17 games. But if one of those rookies doesn't get on the field this year, that the draft feels like it was a waste. Especially if you're going to draft another quarterback next year. That's the one undertone I have.
He didn't draft the quarterbacks in rounds one and two, so I that doesn't bother me much.
Okay,
I would say if Flacco starts, it's not a waste of a season because you never know what could happen. But what it would mean to me is, oh boy, one of these three younger guys couldn't beat out Joe Flacco. Okay. But I'm holding out some hope that maybe you find somebody who can be a part of this football team for a long time, preferably as a starting quarterback, and if not, as a key backup. You know, if you had a good backup quarterback, that'd be great. And so that's why And it's nothing against Joe personally. It's just that I don't need to see a 40-year-old starting at quarterback unless he's clearly the best guy we have. And I hope that one of the three young guys, and I don't care which one it is, shows that he's the best guy that we have, because it might give you a little more hope moving forward.
Daniel is calling from Joe Flacco's old team, The Couch. Hi, Daniel. How are you?
Daniel.
All right. How about yourself, gentlemen? Thanks good. For having me.
Hey, can you take us off speakerphone before you go?
We want your dulcet tones to just
yeah. We want to be able to hear you
through the speakers.
Okay. One second.
I know this feeling. Don't you? I have this conversation all the time.
I don't want to miss my opportunity. Can
there
you hear
you
me?
Go. That's much better. You sound so much better.
Yeah, you sound better than both of us.
I love it, man. Thank you. Thanks for helping me out, fellas. Okay. So here's my take on it. I don't really care how old Joe Flacco is. I always believe this is wisdom before age. This man has proven himself to have some type of longevity in the league. Okay. You know, and it's only fair to the veterans that are still on our team to put us in the best position to win games. It was great when we went 11-6 last year with this aging quarterback. But my whole thing is, I don't care how old our quarterback is, as long as he can go out there, he can produce, give us good results, put wins up on the board. That helps keep the momentum going for the new guys and the veterans to stick around, so they don't have to take the vet minimum and go play for the Chiefs somewhere. So I don't really care how old the quarterback is. I'm rooting for some of the younger guys, because you got two Super Bowl proven quarterbacks on our team. So the other young guys should be able to, you know, put in their own due diligence, you know, to fight for that number one spot or number two spot, just in case anything was to happen for real. Like, I just want us to win. Like, I remember Jeff was saying, just the Pittsburgh Steelers got 6 Super Bowl rings.
Oh, yes.
And I've been, as long as I've been watching, we haven't won. You know, we've had good seasons, we've had terrible seasons, but I only care about us winning one. It's the same way when the Cavs was going through all of that before we got LeBron. We kept trying to get there and was nothing happening. He came back. Just get us one. We can figure out everything else later.
Daniel.
Good stuff, Daniel. Thank you.
I just hope that one of the young guys steps up and is really good. That's what I'm hoping for. Joe, since he left Baltimore, has a record of 10-19 in games where he was the quarterback of record. I just don't think that Joe's going to get you wins. If he turns out to be wins in a big way. If he turns out to be the best quarterback in camp, then he should be the starter. But I sure hope he's not, because I hope one of the young guys is better. And Joe, since he left Baltimore, other than 5 games here, has not been great. He was 3-4 last year in the games that mattered in Indianapolis that he was the main guy in. And Anthony Richardson, who everybody thinks stinks, was 5-5 for whatever that's worth. And Joe's wins came against a Tennessee team that ended up with the number one pick in the draft, one against Jacksonville, who ended up with the 5th overall pick in the draft. And they were 4-13 at the time that Joe Flacco beat him. And then Joe lost to the Giants, who were 3-14 overall. And so if Joe ends up being the best quarterback out of this camp, he deserves to be the starter for the Browns. But I think if that happens, it clearly says, okay, and who are they taking in 2026? Which might be the case anyway. But I think the young guys give you a chance to maybe think we have somebody who can play the quarterback position moving forward, hopefully as a starter, if not as a backup.
I'm just waiting week 7 when Deshaun Watson's starting, and we're all sitting here going, I can't believe we're down this road again.
Who do you think ends up starting the most games at quarterback for the Browns this year?
This season?
Rather than week 1, yeah. I think that's the question.
Who's going to start the most games for the Browns this season?
Who's going to be their starting quarterback for the majority of their games this year?
Dylan Gabriel.
I think that's a possibility. If it's not Dylan, I think it's Kenny Pickett. Even if Joe starts week 1.
So if you ask me the way I think it's
going to... I would love to see Dylan Gabriel be the starter.
I think just the way it's going to play out is that... And I think that Joe's going to end up getting traded right before the season starts. Kenny will start...
Or right before the trade deadline?
No, it'll be before the season starts. I think that there is going to be another team that is going to be in a position where they may give you... I don't even want to say what round. I just think people are going to be looking at the Browns saying, are they choosing between Pickett and Flacco, knowing that they have 2 rookies that they still want to keep on the roster? And no one in their right mind wants to keep 3 guys on a roster that they know can't play or won't be allowed to be technically on a field if your starting quarterback is there. So this is why I'm so vehement about three quarterbacks. And I'm also not giving you names on that. Today I will. Here, I'll tell you this. I think Flacco gets traded or ends up on the coaching staff, retires. I could see that happening too. And then I also see Pickett starting and then Gabriel at some point coming in if Pickett gets hurt.
Give me two guys that you would like to make sure are on this team all year.
You mean
at quarterback?
At quarterback,
two guys:
Sanders and Gabriel. I want both those guys on the team all year.
I'm sorry. Can I give you a hug?
Why?
You and I agree on something at quarterback.
Well, it's not that I don't disagree, but I also think,
ladies and gentlemen, Andy Baskin.
But what you're going to hate is the scenario that says Deshaun Watson's going to be the starting quarterback late in the season. And Gabriel and Sanders are still both on the roster.
You know, the one thing about Deshaun, let's not be delusional. If he's healthy late in the year, there is the chance that that happens. I'm hard-pressed to think that he's going to be back from that injury. I mean, he tore it twice.
I know.
I mean, it's in all fairness to Deshaun, and you know, his record here as a starting quarterback hasn't been good. It's been bad. He was a phenomenal quarterback in Houston. I'm hard-pressed to think he's back healthy and good to play football this year.
Return on investment.
Yeah, I know. No, that's not that. I'm hard-pressed to think he's going to be healthy enough.
Hmm.
I don't know about that.
Do you think any of these things we said are off base? I'm curious. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.